Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida.
We're going to finish up the church covenant tonight, Lord willing, and we are about halfway through what would be the second paragraph, well, near the end of it. We are at to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, and I won't, again, we won't review the things that we've already covered. Time will not allow it. But that's kind of where we'd left off, was about giving towards the church and the duty that we have, the reason that we give, how it's part of our worship. And then we divide this into the subjects that we have covenanted together to give towards the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. And it's of no accident that those are the categories that are listed that we pledge to be involved in giving toward. And a word of advice. When it comes to that we give towards the expenses of the ministry, you should not enter ministry for the money. One, because that's obviously biblically a very incorrect reason for getting involved in it. But then two, if you weren't already privy to the information, you will soon discover that there's not a lot of money to go around in the ministry. Now, God provides for his people. We don't go without want. I don't know how the other guys do it, that they end up with the private planes and the airports and all those kinds of things, but that's just not the normal for one of the Lord's New Testament churches. So biblically, the tabernacle and the temple priests or the ministers, they were supported through the tithes that were paid to the Lord's house and the freewill offerings of the people. And so it is after a similar manner today in the New Testament church that the ministers should be paid out of the funds from the Lord's church. And the church, I want to preface this, the church has been good to me, and I am not going to tell you what the Bible has to say with the intention of thinking that I am complaining or that I am asking for anything. Y'all take care of me and my family, and I'm very grateful for it. But I need to make sure that we understand as a church body the principles of giving towards the ministry. And Paul writes that a full-time minister of the gospel who's wholly given to the ministry of the word of God should receive a salary that's at least twice the amount of the common laborer in the congregation that he pastors. That's the biblical principle that we find forth. The truth of the matter is that today, in our works around our churches, I dare say that the average compensation for a pastor is actually either equal to or less than the average income of the membership that he pastors. His training, his time, his dress, and his expenses merit such care, and the scriptures teach it. 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18 is one of the scripture references for this, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through 14. And on that note, again, this is just a word of advice. This does not necessarily pertain to the season that you may find yourself in at this present hour, but it's very useful information to have in case you do happen to awaken one day, one year, and find yourself in what's fitting of what we're about to discuss for just a moment. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5, after you read about the providing for the pastor, he gives it a very strong word of caution against bringing an accusation against an elder about the way in such an issue should be mannered, if there is one, how it should be handled. And I'd encourage you to look it up. I just have a note in here, and for time, we won't delve into these things. But just put simply, don't mess with God's men. We find that example throughout Scripture, and none of us should take it so lightly. It's great that, especially in this church and in other churches, that members are able to have such a friendly and a loving and an intimate relationship with their pastors, with their leaders. But sometimes, because of the comfort that we find through those relationships, we neglect the respect or the way in which some issues should be handled according to the Bible, and we can be very loose-lipped about some people in the ministry and this person, that person, and we need to be very, very careful, especially. And we're going to cover here about other members of the church, but if the Bible already warns us against speaking this way about other members of the church and then goes above and beyond to warn against having that kind of an attitude towards ministers of the gospel, then you would do well to remember that, and we ought to be very careful the way that we speak of some people, when we speak of them, though it's just a good word of caution, again, that may not pertain to your current season in life, But I promise at one point or another, either you will be tempted or you will encounter someone else that is speaking in an accusational manner against somebody in the midst. And the Bible outlines the proper way that that's to be dealt with. And us having a dumpster for an ear is not the way to use that. That's what my grandpa used to say, is that when people would bring the gossip and stuff to him, he said, "I ain't got a dumpster can for an ear. Yeah, you go dump that somewhere else." And so we would do well to remember that and just shut it down. So I need to move on. The expenses of the church is one other reason that we give to help support the expenses of the church. Did you know that the pastor is not responsible for the expenses of the church? And we're blessed around here with a lot of skilled laborers that can take care of issues when they arise. Like the AC units. Boy, aren't you glad when the AC works, especially over this past summer? Well, you know, when the AC breaks down, it's not the pastor's responsibility to make sure that it's fixed. Now, we're blessed. Our senior pastor has a background in that, and he comes out and gives his own time, his own work, and I've helped him sometimes getting this unit working, getting that unit working. But we have a tendency to enter into the house of the Lord and, you know, the floor is dirty. You know, there's cobwebs in that corner. If someone really ought to take care of that, you know, so-and-so do better, just kind of thing. Did you know it is collectively, the church's responsibility to take care of such matters? And so we pledge to help support the expenses of the church. And sometimes the reason that some of these things go unaddressed or they aren't taken care of is simply because the money hasn't been allocated in the budget to be able to address these things. And so it's one of the reasons that we give is to support the expenses of the church. Sunday school curriculum, all these other kinds of things, overhead, it's part of why we give. Then we need to understand that in giving the expenses to the church, it should be done first by giving of ourselves fully to the Lord. There is no financial gift that will have any greater impact than the giving of yourself to the work of the church. We find that principle laid out in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 5. Then when it comes after the giving of ourselves, of our finances, well, then we find that we should give in simplicity or in humility. It's not to make a show, not a prideful statement, but literally in a humbleness to give to the Lord. Romans 12:8 says, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." Giving to God's cause should be of our money and with a perfect heart, according to 1 Chronicles 29:9. Says the people rejoice for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. Then we have on there that the expenses include to the poor. And Jesus, the poor we will always have with us. And he did not say that to negate the importance of helping them, but to highlight that opportunity is ever present with us. And so for the poor, Jesus was a friend to the poor. He offered support to it. We even have a dedicated fund set aside at the church, the Benevolence Fund, to help those that are in need, the poor. And the poor, we find that the early churches followed this example, and we too are admonished to manifest pure and undefiled religion by helping the poor, the widows, and the needy. You can read that in James chapter 27. The relief of the poor should be first the relief of the poor among the saints. Paul gave orders, divine instructions, to all the churches of Galatia and the Corinth church to manifest the love of Christ by helping the poor saints in Jerusalem. We find that this they also did. They followed through with it. 1 Corinthians 16, the first four verses, and 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. The churches of Macedonia and Achaia were also liberal contributors to such need. Find that in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, the first five verses. To the work of helping the poor in Jerusalem, the church at Antioch applied herself in giving. So let us always remember that the poor was received gladly of the Lord, and we do have a responsibility to lend, to help as we are able to, and to show the love of Christ, especially to those that are poor. To them, men should yet preach Christ through the gospel of love in their times of need. This can be especially helpful and encouraging to poor saints. And it's not limited just to those of the household of faith, but we do neglect those of the household of faith at our own peril to reach out to others.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.